Emmanuel, God with us, we gather to remember this story, to wait and watch for him to come again, even now. Come, Lord Jesus.
In the beginning, God created man and woman in his image, to know and love him, and to be known and loved by him. But Eve was deceived by Satan, and Adam gave in to temptation when he chose to eat the forbidden fruit and rebel against God. This sinful, rebellious act severed their relationship with God and their ability to know him fully. All of us inherited that sinful nature from him, from Adam, and rebel against God, causing us to walk in darkness and away from him. But God's great love is revealed to us in his glorious plan to rescue sinners from sin and death.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
Though they walked in darkness, God's light dawned to show them the way to him through Jesus, his son. But many turned away from God and rejected his light. When God brought distress to them, they cried out to him, and God, in his love, promised the true light, their Messiah, to show them the way to God.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
The people walking in darkness shall see a great light. The people walking in darkness. darkness, on them a light shall shine.
People of God chose to walk in darkness for so long that they did not know how to live in His light. God revealed His plan to bring hope and salvation to their hearts through an angel speaking to a priest named Zechariah.
The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Through John, God prepared the world for the coming of His Son, Jesus. John told the people to turn from their darkness. He told them what God was like so that they could recognize Him when He came.
"Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation." In the fullness of time, God sent his Son, but not in the way his people expected. He did not come as a mighty king or as a mysterious force. He came as a baby, born to a woman named Mary.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Her name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
To his people, God revealed how Christ would come, not with force, but with humility. He did not come by the will or actions of humans, but by God's perfect plan and in his power alone. Humble Mary was God's chosen vessel to be the mother of Jesus. When she heard this, Mary worshiped God and said,
"I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled."
Sin, no,
The miraculous birth of Jesus happened just as the prophets had said. Jesus, Emmanuel, came for his people once and for all. Though the world did not notice his birth, Jesus was born to fulfill God's plan.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger.
Though the world did not yet know the good news, heaven could not contain its joy. The angels were amazed at the beauty of God's plan and the depth of his love. An angel announced the good news to shepherds in the nearby fields, and immediately all of heaven was praising God and rejoicing over the birth of Jesus, God's Son.
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Celebrate the Holy Spirit.
God the Father sent His Son into the world to rescue sinners. By His life, death, and resurrection, Jesus purchased a chosen and precious people for Himself. He came to seek and save the lost, and to this day He continues to call people to Himself. One day His glorious return will end this current age and usher in His eternal reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
God sent his Son into this world for us. We are the people who walk in darkness, who chose our own paths. We are the people who try to earn our way back to God, but always fail. We are the people whom God never forgets, never stops loving, and never stops seeking.
We rejoice together in the words that Mary spoke. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name.
People of God, Jesus came for us, and the call to receive him as Lord and Savior through repentance of faith continues to go forth even now. Turn to him and receive him. Every day his kingdom grows as people experience the new birth, which brings them into his family and kingdom. Praise him joyfully for his merciful, saving work.
His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He performs mighty deeds with his strong arm. He scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He brings down rulers from their thrones and lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry with good things, but sends the rich away empty. He helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised.
Child in the manger, infant.
come, Lord Jesus. Though our world chooses darkness, you overcome that darkness. Though we chose to wander away from you, your strong arm brings us back. Though we chose our own path, you pursue us with your relentless love. Though we live in fear, your light and love replace our fear with your joyful presence.
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, Emmanuel, Christ the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Gathered this day to worship, we have sung the glory of the one who took on human form as a baby lying in a manger. God with us. God with us. We come to worship because God is with us. In one of the readings as the Advent candles were lit, John 1:14 was read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to think of that for just a moment. Full of grace and truth. First, grace. Jesus is full of grace. One definition of grace I found says, God's grace means God's goodness toward those who deserve punishment. Grace is God's favor freely given to those who do not deserve this favor. Paul said in Ephesians 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as the result of works, so that no one may boast. Being saved is God's goodness toward those who deserve punishment. Jesus is full of grace. If you think this morning that you don't need God's grace, if you think this morning that you don't need to be redeemed from your past, you don't know Jesus. And if you think that you've done something that he can't overcome, you don't know Jesus. This morning, all of us are in need of that redemption. We're all in need of his grace. Grace is just what you need at the moment you need it. Have you experienced this grace? Do you know him as your Savior, as your Lord? Jesus is also full of truth. Truth is what God says. Too many look at the Bible as only a list of rules that they think are arbitrarily set. God tells us how to live the best life possible through his word. And he knows because he made us. He knows how we are. He knows our thoughts. He knows what's going on in our lives. And so he tells us through his word. And if you go against his truth, misery and death occur. Oftentimes we do things and we'll say, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. But if you go against God's truth, there's no way but that is going to happen. Truth is also God in human form. Jesus came to rescue us, to save us, to redeem us from our sin. This morning, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I don't remember when I heard the phrase, and you probably have too, CEOs. Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. That's when I go to church. No, I go to church every Sunday because I want to worship the God who saved me. I came across this view of Jesus' truth. Jesus did not practice affirmational inclusion, meaning he did not meet sinners where they were and affirm them in their sin. Rather, he practiced transformational inclusion, meaning he met sinners where they were and transformed them. We've come to worship the one who redeems. We've come to worship the one who transforms. The problem you run into is that grace and truth become unbalanced in our personal theology, in your life. Think of an old-time balance scale. Full of grace and truth means that we need to live our lives in balance, acknowledging that just as Jesus is full of grace and truth, we should be also. But sometimes we want to say, grace, well, God will surely forgive me. Please do not go into what God says don't do with open eyes. Because there's going to be a price to pay. Sometimes then we can say, God is truth, and say, you've got to be this way. The truth of it is that God will take us just as we are. He is full of grace and truth. We've gathered this day to worship the one who is full of grace and truth. Let me ask you again, do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as Lord? One who controls, one who dictates, one who guides. Do you know him as Lord and Savior? In just a moment, we're going to have a time of response because I want to give you an opportunity. I don't know your heart. Some of you, I don't even know your names, and we're glad for that. But I do not know your heart. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior?